Okay, so this talk will follow very closely at the heels of the previous talk, except we'll believe that all profiles are real, which we now know is not exactly the correct assumption. So this is joint work with Xiao Wei and Zhang Yang, who are both gainfully employed this summer and hence could not present the work, and Ricardo Matsumura and Manu Reiki. So the motivation here is, how can you design these social games to propagate on systems such as Facebook? What are the best invitation strategies that the users can use to get others on board to join the games? And what we're looking for specifically are network effects. So just like in the previous talk, you had, if you can have more people backing you up, similarly in a lot of these social games, the more friends you get into the game, the more successful you'll be in earning points and winning battles. So we're looking at things like direct invitations and other ways of influencing your friends. This isn't the first work to look at such questions. Our previous work on online viral marketing looked at email invitations, trying to get your friends to buy the same products you did so that you would both get a discount. There's also a lot of work on social influence and diffusion online. Which live journal groups will you join? Which mobile phone app will you install? Many studies of diffusion in blogs and in online virtual worlds. Specifically for Facebook, there was a paper last year on diffusion of pages on Facebook. So if you see a page appearing in your newsfeed because one of your friends became a fan, do you become a fan of that page? And then there was a study showing that Facebook users are installing more and more apps. However, they're using those apps less and less. So our motivation is to see how that might be influenced. I'll first talk about the games we studied. And then the invitation efficiency.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we're going to look at invitation efficiency from the point of view of the user who's inviting, and also from the point of view of the user who's being invited to join the game. And then we're going to look at network effects. So does how successful your neighbors are, your friends are, in inviting people to the game have to do with how successful you are yourself? So the data that we used came from the company Lolabs, and they have 50 million active users a month. They were founded in 2008. They have 300,000 user-generated applications. Most of these are quizzes, and they have 11 games that they created themselves. The two that we looked at is kind of a Mafia Wars type game called Yakuza Lords, and Diva Life, where you try to be a celebrity and win gigs. So when you look at the game activities, so this is the number of actions that the user took. And in both games, the first thing that the user will do is acquire some items and spruce up their characters. And then as the game goes on, they'll either go on individual missions or engage in these battles where they need their friends in order to win. The game demographics, so both of these applications spread virally relatively quickly, so gaining over a million users. While Yakuza Lords is predominantly male, Diva Life is predominantly female, and the age distributions are pretty similar, mostly attracting younger users. Here's what a screenshot of the interface to invite your friends. And currently it says things like you can invite up to 8 of your friends. This is a change. It used to be that you could invite all of your friends who are online. But in any case, you are shown a list of your friends and you can choose which ones to invite. And we'll see this figuring in later. How careful you are about selecting those friends correlates to what the chances are of those friends joining. The problem is that not all of your friends want to play. So there are lots of Facebook pages saying things like, I'm sick of Farmville notifications, I don't care about your lost cow, or I don't care about your fish's farm, pets or mafia, right? But at the same time, for every one of these pages that says, you know, they're sick of these notifications, there are other pages that say, I don't care if you don't care, or just learn to block the notifications, or, you know, we all should care, right? So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. So given that people do get annoyed in receiving these invitations, are they really worth it? Is this what the game should be doing? Especially if you look at how many users join because of these social invitations and how many join just because they saw it on some news feed or they clicked on an ad. So for our games, only 37% of Yakuza Lords users joined after receiving an invite from a friend, and it's even lower, 25% for Diva Life. However, where the difference kicks in is in whether the users stay subsequently. So for the users who were not invited, only 20% of them stay in the game past the first day. For the users who were invited, 50% of them stay past the first day, and then 20% of them were still there 80 days later. So the invited users kind of feel more welcome, and you can see that they tend to stay longer. Okay, so you're inviting your friends. Should you invite all of your friends or just those who might be interested? And what we can see is that many users are selective. So as a proportion of all of their friends, they typically only invite a small fraction. But some users do tend to invite all of them. And then if you look at the number of Facebook friends and then the average number of invitees, it tends to be, it tends to scale. So it's not that if you have many, many friends that you'll invite a fewer number. Okay, so does that pay? Should you be inviting as many friends as you can? Well, there definitely are more active inviters. So 10% of the users account for 50% of the successful invites. But you can see that there's really a pretty stark drop-off in your per-invite success rate. So the more people you're inviting per invite, the fewer people you actually get to join, manage to recruit. Okay. So since this is the dominant factor so far, right, the more you're inviting, the less successful you are per invite, we control for the number of invites sent. And we just look at groups of users who sent 6, 12, or 20 invites. And then we look at whether some additional selective behavior might help. And here we find that those users who pace their invites tend to do a little bit better, so they wait longer between inviting friends. If they're more persistent, so they invite the same friend repeatedly, that friend might eventually give in and join the game. And in being more selective in that interface and selecting fewer users at once also tends to give a higher yield. Okay, so that was what they were doing when they were inviting. But are there perhaps properties of these users that are just innate to that user that we could just say, ha, this kind of individual, when they go off and invite their friends are going to heed these invites. Well, it turns out that this isn't the case, so there's no correlation with gender, education, hometown, relationship status, and there's very weak correlation with age. So slightly older users get more of their invites accepted. Is there maybe something about the inviter's network? If a user is very popular and they have tons of friends, are their friends going to accept their invites? No, not the case. If they're more blabby, if they have lots of wall posts, whether generated by games or others, also not much of an effect. And finally, if they tend to share more, do they get more of their invites accepted? And actually, well, it's basically a non-correlation. So nothing there. But what is correlated is their engagement with the game. So the more people they invite here, what we find is that there's a stronger and stronger correlation between how long they've been in the game and what their success rate is inviting. And of course, this is just a correlation, right? If you manage to get a lot of people to join the game, you're going to stay in the game longer. And maybe if you're staying in the game longer, you're more experienced and you know how to invite successfully. And so just for the top 10% of inviters, by the number of people they get to join, their average lifespan is 70 days. So we can kind of stitch these invitations together and get these invitations cascade. So one user invites their friends, who in turn invite their friends. And one thing you'll note is that some users receive multiple invites. So we're interested in, So first we'll characterize these cascades. And as you can see, the cascades can get rather large, so 100,000 users. But all of those users will be reachable from the root, the person who initiated the cascade within a small number of hops. And here's one actually relatively unusual cascade because the root node is here and they invited a couple of people here and then it kind of went through this long chain and then exploded. And the blue color just denotes, and also the size of the node, how many invitations that person received. So at some point, the cascades start colliding and people receive multiple invites. Okay, so does it matter how many people invite you? Yes, it does. So the more people who are inviting you, the more likely you are to join. So that kind of makes sense. You're kind of hearing the message repeatedly, come join. But is there something about that set of people that is going to persuade you one way or another? Maybe if those people are really different as far as their profiles go, you're going to say, oh, well, you know, different people think this is all a great game, so I'm more likely to join. There was no signal there. But where there was signal is how those other users were connected with each other. So if there is a high clustering coefficient, meaning that it was kind of a cliquish group of friends who are inviting you, you were more likely to join in. So there's some other indirect evidence that it seems like the game is absorbing these dense cliques from the social network into the game. And one hint is that if you look at the amount of time that elapses between the first member joining, the second, the third, the fourth, it tends to actually happen more and more rapidly. Right, so you kind of get the first one, and then they invite their friend, and then these two are inviting their friend, and they join in. But at some point around a dozen people who are now in your family in the game, it becomes more difficult to attract additional players, even though you have an advantage by growing your family as much as you can. And one other suggestion of this is that if you look at a user's invitation success rate, it tends to be correlated with the success rate of their friends, because they both share credit for inviting the same people. And so how far does influence carry? Here we have the root node, and then this is just the correlation between the invitation success rate of the person one level down and the person two levels down, or two and three, three and four, and that all tends to be quite correlated, but the correlation drops when you compare the root node success rate with success of the subsequent levels. Okay, and this is something that is kind of an aside, and we heard a lot about it in the previous talk, which is that you tend to assume that these games are using the social network to propagate, but that the social network is some sort of real, actual network. What we found is that there are actually lots of groups on Facebook where people will ask others to friend them in order to get more people into the game. So they've exhausted their network, right? But they still want more people to play with them. So they say, hey, send me a friend request. Make sure you put Diva Life in the subject, and I'll add you, and we can play together in the game. So just to wrap up, we saw games spreading successfully and virally over the social network, and it wasn't so much who the inviter was, but how much they were into the game and what their invitation strategy was. That is, it was better if they were more selective and paced their invites and thought who to invite. We saw this boost, kind of a network effect from these family group oriented games, because you have an advantage if you get a friend to join, and then both you and your friend are inviting your other friends. Just the last point, that these games really are kind of starting to mess with the social network, which we might have some solutions for. In future work, we're actually currently working on understanding how quizzes spread. So what makes a successful quiz? What are the properties of the users who propagate them? And we're also characterizing these large-scale cascades. And for more info, you can check out my research group's homepage. Thanks. Okay, so I don't have the numbers here, but from the point of view of the game, it is in their best interest to get everyone to invite all of their friends, because the more friends you invite, the more, kind of in absolute terms, the more other people you get to join. But there's the counterbalance of, you can only do that so much before people get tired of it, so you might want to introduce the selectivity.
Hi. A quick question about the shareability of your public profile. You had a percentage like 0.6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
How did you compute that you treat all attributes as equal?
Yes. So it's just you get to choose what's shared. And all of the profile data that we dealt with was just totally publicly retrievable data. Yeah.
So I actually have a question. I'm curious, do you think that there might be distinct accounts being used for particular purposes? So, for example, Atif talked about sort of people creating phantoms, but I can imagine, for example, that say you're a business person or someone with an official presence, and most of your friends are from the company, let's say, and you don't want to bombard them with, you know, hey, my cow just, you know, gave birth. You know, those kind of notifications. Perhaps what you might do is create a phantom profile and then connect them up to these kinds of, you know, gamers, and so might there be a way to characterize users or user accounts as either a sort of a gamer or an official, you know, Facebook page that might shed some light on whether they're successful
in doing these kind of things? I like that idea. I think it's probably no coincidence that the age distribution for these games is still when people are in college and they don't have important colleagues that they would annoy. But I wonder if, you know, the games could spread more if you did give people the option of having, yeah,
right, or maybe Facebook gave them the option of, you know, disseminating things to groups,
yeah,
by default.
Mm-hmm.
Krista Wilson, UCSB. Sort of a related question. I have this preconceived notion that with these games, there are cliques of people probably playing at work or in their dorm room, you know, killing time.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned that there was some correlation with cliques in the social graph.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any indication what those cliques are in real life, or if they're not actually real life cliques, or?
Oh, so something like looking at the profiles of the,
yeah, so it was a little bit surprising that the correlation with profiles was so low, but there
uh-huh.
were clicks. Is that just because of privacy settings, you couldn't see the right profile data?
That could be. I mean, but the profile was just saying it doesn't, you know, age doesn't matter or gender doesn't matter. But I think what you're saying is if you could tell that these were all students at a college or
exactly.
something like that, that you might have higher predictability.
The correlation part, if you were to examine, I don't know if you had information, not number of wall posts, but number of unique users that have wall posts on your profile, which means basically the number of people that you contact, which cannot be captured by a social graph. It's an interaction thing. Do you have that information to check whether there is a correlation? So maybe what I'm trying to say is that maybe there is a correlation in the number of people that you frequently contact and not on the number of total friends. Mm-hmm. And that would be you could estimate the people that you are clicking with in all clicks together. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Just
so
a comment, I don't know.
Think we have that data, but I would imagine that something that did measure interaction with your friends would be more predictive.
Any other questions? Okay, let's thank our speaker again.